Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone is having a wonderful Sabbath day. It's absolutely beautiful outside. Very exciting time in our family's life. We've been in and out of here for quite a few weeks now, and I have a grandson. He's almost perfect. I would say perfect, but then you would think I was arrogant. But I do have my wife back after 6 weeks. Another tidbit, I've left my Bible down in Texas. I am without my Bible. That's not good. A gentleman down there is rebinding my Bible, putting new cover on it, fixing my pages. I'm using a Bible today that I've heard hundreds of sermons. My dad has let me use his Bible. A little emotional. But he's here today to hear me give it out of his Bible. So just a tidbit there. Have you ever witnessed a powerful spiritual storm that has beat on you? Trials, tests, persecution. Are we able to see Satan's handiwork causing destruction everywhere we look? Satan is actively deceiving the whole world. Satan has orchestrated many false ideas, many false teachings, many false doctrines. Thousands of religions are out there. Satan is working hard to deceive you and to deceive me. Satan is busy attacking God the Father. Have you ever thought about that? He is busy attacking God the Father, attacking what he is doing with human beings on this earth. He's attacking Jesus Christ. He's attacking God's plan, and he's attacking us. Satan is very busy. I'd like to quote a scripture here that you don't have to turn there. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, I feel today, in these end time, in latter times," Paul says, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Satan is spewing out doctrines that is called here doctrines of demons. Do you see the false doctrines that Satan and his demons are spewing out? It's very easy when you start looking into the religions of the world. Satan is the god of this world, and he is replacing the truth of God with his own words, with his own perverse doctrines. This might sound pretty negative so far. Brethren, where is our hope? What hope do we have? I want to make this crystal clear. There is wonderful hope for all of us. There is Jesus Christ. God the Father has placed him into a position who is a huge rock, a chief cornerstone. He is the foundation for the church of God that is being built upon that foundation. We have him. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there for us. He is always there to help us and strengthen us. God will supply us our needs, every need. We have an individual responsibility, though, to build our life on that solid foundation, that chief cornerstone, that huge rock of Jesus Christ that he has given his information. He's given it to the prophets. He's given it to the apostles. There's a tremendous foundation set for us to be built upon. He's expecting us to live our life according to his instructions. We are given a choice to build our life on the rock or to build our life on the sand. The sand is going to be a very shaky foundation, tossed to and fro with all of the doctrines of demons that are out there, all the different beliefs, all the confusion that he is striving to create. We start being tossed to and fro on what do we believe? What's true? What's not true? You start hitting your head on this wall and that wall, and you get pretty bruised up. We have an individual responsibility to build our life on a solid foundation. We are given a choice to build our life on the sand or the rock. We need to be learning to build our life on solid, stable ground. Today, I would like to consider the spiritual foundation that has been placed beneath us that gives us stability in our lives. God the Father has placed this stability under us as our foundation. We must learn to build our life on a strong, on a stable, and immovable foundation. If we rely and truly believe the foundational truth that God has established in our life, that God has taught us in our life, then we can make it through all of the spiritual storms, all the trials, all the tests, all the persecutions, and not fall. We can make it through all the doctrines of demons, all that Satan has strived to do, and still be standing at the end. If you'd like a title for this message, the title is this: Consider Our Foundation. Consider Our Foundation. What will we do if we are in the middle of a spiritual hurricane? I don't think any of us have witnessed a spiritual hurricane. I think we've witnessed spiritual rainstorms and maybe a light thunderstorm. What will we do if we're faced with a spiritual hurricane? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Here we're going to see what will help us survive a spiritual hurricane. Here we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This was right at the very end of his teaching session that he had with them at that time. Let's begin reading here, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," whoever understands, whoever comprehends the words that came from God the Father and now being delivered by Jesus Christ, his sayings, his teachings, his instructions. It says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, obeys them, applies them into your life, I will liken that individual to a wise man who built his house on the rock." This word rock here in the Greek language is Petra, P-E-T-R-A. It's a huge, immovable, stable, massive rock. And the rain descended, the trials, the tests, the spiritual storms began. It descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, Petra. Here we are beginning to see the importance of a solid spiritual foundation. We are told that we should build on the rock. We understand that God's house or God's church has been constructed since 31 AD on Pentecost, just 2 weeks away, that we're going to be having an anniversary of that time. When the church began to be taught in more multiple of people. Many spiritual storms have beaten upon the Church of God since that time. We can read about many within the Scriptures. We have witnessed many with our own eyes. God uses the building process to describe the church, the building of the church. We know in biblical times when a structure was built, it always began by placing a chief cornerstone. It was the first stone that was to be laid. It was the largest stone. It was huge. It was firm. It was stable. It was immovable. And it was massive. That's where the strength of the structure came from. After the chief cornerstone was laid, the rest of the foundation stones were set. The rest of the foundation stones were aligned and attached directly to the chief cornerstone. They were attached to it. Without the chief cornerstone, the other stones would be weak. After the foundation was complete, then the walls would begin to be built above these stones. God uses these terms in the building process to describe the building of His church. It clearly says that we must be built on the rock. This massive, this huge, this immovable and solid rock. And Jesus Christ is that rock. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll clearly be able to see that here. First Corinthians chapter 10, and let's begin reading here in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food." And this is what I'm wanting to get to here in verse 4. It says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock." This word rock here is Petra. It's the huge, immovable, massive rock. "They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Very clear. That what was being referred to, what Jesus Himself was referring to, was Himself back in Matthew chapter 7. Let's now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to see where He is called a chief cornerstone in this location. And we will see that the chief cornerstone and that rock is one and the same. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read here in verse 4. It says, "Coming to Him," coming to Jesus Christ, "as to a living stone, He was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious." See, God the Father is the architect here. God the Father is the one that has placed Jesus Christ in the position that He is, as that chief cornerstone, as that rock, as that solid foundation for the church of God. It says here it was chosen by God and precious. How precious is Jesus Christ to us, knowing that all that He has done for us? But the world rejected Him. Verse 5, He begins talking about us. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house." This church of God is a spiritual house. It's made up of individual members, individual human beings that are called by God the Father, given His Holy Spirit through a process with baptism. And they begin to be built together as a spiritual structure. "We're to become a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God once again through Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God the Father, but through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. This rock, this huge, immovable foundation that has been placed by God the Father to be under us, that we are to build upon, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Solid truth that we can take to the bank. If we put our lives following on this foundation that Christ is setting, we will not have shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. And every one of us should see him as something extremely precious. But to those who are disobedient, to those who of the world that's rejected Christ, the stone which the builders rejected, the world's rejected him, has become the chief cornerstone. The world rejected him, but God the Father has placed him as our chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. We are instructed here to believe in Christ, adhere to him as he is that rock and that chief cornerstone. We must see him as precious for our well-being. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone that supports every single thing in our life. Every important thing in our life, it's supported by him, his instructions, his commandments, his way in which he teaches us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, here we're going to see where Jesus Christ, that rock, will build his church. And I want you to see the emphasis on who owns the church, who's building that church. Let's read it here in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, Jesus Christ said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The Father revealed that to him. Then we're going to get to verse 18. This is where I'm wanting to go here. And I also say to you that you are Peter. The Greek word here for Peter is Petros. It's P-E-T-R-O-S. P-E-T-R-O-S. It means a stone. Some say it means a pebble. But it's a smaller stone is the meaning of Peter. But then he begins to shift gears here and moves to that huge, massive rock. Let's go on to read. I also say to you that you are Peter, the smaller stone, and on this rock, Petra, I, Jesus Christ, I will build my church. This church, all of us as individuals, are owned by Jesus Christ. Our life is owed to Him. His precious blood paid for the sins and the penalty of death for us. We owe everything to Him. It says here, this rock, Jesus Christ, will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Extremely important what God the Father has done in placing Jesus Christ in the exact position that He is at. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here Paul recognized himself laying the foundation that he received from the chief cornerstone. Let's read it here. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 9. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers." Paul saw himself as God's worker, as God's servant. He was serving Jesus Christ and relaying information that he learned from the chief cornerstone. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." That structure that is being built on the foundation. Verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." In other words, he took the words from the chief cornerstone, relayed them to brethren within the church. In a sense, he laid that foundation for them by relaying the words from the chief cornerstone. And then he said this, "And another builds on it." Brethren, it's our choice whether and how we build on a foundation. Will it be a rock or will it be the sand? "He delivered the foundation," it says, "and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." There can be no other foundation that we build upon. No doctrines that would come from demons. No false teaching, false ideas that we might hear from the world that Satan would have penetrated. There's only one foundation. There's only one source that we are to build our life upon. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 once again. Let's read the rest of the story there. I'm going to begin with verse 24 once again and just buzz through those first two verses where it talks about the rock. We have a choice, brethren, what foundation we choose to build our life upon. Verse 24, Matthew 7, verse 24, says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine," once again, understands, comprehends, these instructions from Jesus Christ, God's words that Jesus Christ delivered to the disciples from the Father. They were the Father's instructions that He passed down to them. "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the spiritual storms began. Trials, the tests, the persecutions. The rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell." and great was his fall. And so it was when Jesus, had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. We know where he got his authority. We know God the Father placed him in that position with complete authority. We must ask ourselves the question, as we examine ourselves, what are we building our life upon? The rock or sand? Are we getting bruises on our head as we're banging against the wall, tossed to and fro, not knowing what the truth is, whether it's true or false? Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Here we're going to see that our chief cornerstone is talking to us here. And he describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way with his instruction. He teaches us the way. He tells us the truth. Nothing false. You can believe it with all your heart. And he brings eternal life. Offers eternal life. John 14, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, God the Father. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I," singular, Jesus Christ, "I will come again and receive you to myself." We are owned by Jesus Christ. We are his. We are his church. "That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Clay talked about Thomas a little bit in the sermonette. Then in verse 6, this is what I'm wanting to get to. Jesus said to him, "I am the way." It's the only way. There's only one way. And he is the way. "I am the truth, and I am the life," eternal life. "No one comes to the Father except through me." He is that rock. He is our foundation. He is who we are built upon. We must clearly see how valuable and precious Jesus Christ is to us individually. We cannot survive without him. Let's go to John chapter 15, over one page. Here we're going to see that we cannot bear spiritual fruit unless we are attached to him. Let's read it here. John 15, beginning in verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine," Jesus Christ talking, "and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." His sayings, his instructions, his commandments, his word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." How precious is he to us? Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Very intimate relationship between Jesus Christ and us individually. He knows our thoughts. He knows where we're at in our conversion process. He knows what we need. He teaches us what we need. He corrects us when we need corrected. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, my sayings, my instructions, these words that he's delivering to them from the Father. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God the Father is intimately involved as well. He is orchestrating, and he's the master architect here. He's placed Jesus Christ in this position of the foundation that is beneath us, that we rely on for us to grow. It's very clear that our life depends on Jesus Christ. It says that we cannot survive on our own. We must be attached to Jesus Christ to be spiritually fed so that we can grow, mature, and develop spiritually. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Here we're going to see that the foundation that we are built upon. And here there's another layer of the foundation that is introduced, that being the prophets and the apostles. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. He was one of the two God beings from the very beginning, the Word, who later became Jesus Christ. He was the same being, whether he was the Word or Jesus Christ. The Word taught all the prophets, all of those men in the Old Testament. He gave them his sayings, his instructions, all that came from the Father, he gave to them. He came to the New Testament. He came as Jesus Christ, as a human being. He taught all the apostles. He gave them his instructions, his sayings. They were the rest of the foundation stones that were aligned and attached to the chief cornerstone, just in that building, just like in that building process of a physical structure. Let's read it here, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, members of God's family, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What is that foundation? This Bible. We have the prophets in the Old Testament. We have the apostles in the New Testament. All of this information came directly from the chief cornerstone. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Here we see another layer that's a part and added to the chief cornerstone. In other words, the chief cornerstone has chosen certain men to help him as his servants, to lay this information out for it to be recorded. So we see the chief cornerstone taught both the prophets, all those in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament and the apostles. The Bible is recorded words from the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. We see here that the layer to the foundation, another layer to the foundation, that being the prophets and the apostles. I want to shift gears here a little bit and begin to focus first on the prophets. God used the prophets in the Old Testament. The word prophet in the Hebrew language, which is what the Old Testament was written in originally, was the Hebrew language. The word prophet in Hebrew is N-A-B-I-Y. N-A-B-I-Y. This word prophet in Hebrew means one who announces or brings a message from God. They have a role to deliver a message and announce that message from the chief cornerstone. They were aligned and attached to the chief cornerstone. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Here we will read Jesus Christ quoting about the prophets. Talking about the prophets, those in the Old Testament. John chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse 39. Jesus Christ is talking here. He said, "You search the Scriptures." Well, the only Scriptures that they had at that time was the Old Testament Scriptures. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." The Old Testament teaching about eternal life. "And these individuals of the Old Testament, and these are they which testify of me." These writings of the Old Testament testify of the rock. They're on a mission. That's the apostles. They are there to deliver the message for the cornerstone. Now, let's go down to verse 46. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." How? Because Christ, when he was the Word, told Moses. He taught Moses. He instructed Moses what to write. And Jesus went on to say here in verse 47, "If you do not believe Moses' writings, how will you believe my words?" The prophets of the Old Testament taught about Christ. The prophets were delivering Jesus Christ's message as that layer of a foundation that Jesus Christ sent them to do. We see that God gave the prophets information to fill in detail on what we believe, on what we are to build upon in our lives. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Here we're going to continue to see how the prophets' writings were used to teach the church. Here, Paul was talking about the Old Testament of the Bible. Let's read about it here. Acts 28 and verse 23. It says, "So when they had appointed him a day," when they had appointed Paul a day, "many came to Paul at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening." From the prophets, from the Old Testament writings, Paul used to teach about the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus Christ himself. Here we see Paul taught from these scriptures. Paul read from the prophets' writings to teach God's truth. His way, His truth, His life. We've now talked about the chief cornerstone and a little bit about the prophets. Now let's talk a little bit about the apostles. Keep in mind that all the scriptures make up the foundation. Christ inspired all scripture. He inspired all scripture. All scripture came from the chief cornerstone that He was delivering from His Father to give all of us, the church, the spiritual structure, to give us doctrine, to give us reproof, to give us correction, to give us instruction in righteousness. God's way, God's truth, His life. Christ's information is solid, it's stable, it's immovable, and we can automatically believe it with all our heart. And we build upon those words. We build upon those sayings. We build upon those instructions. He is our foundation. He is the rock. Massive, huge, immovable rock. The word apostle in the Greek, the New Testament is written in the Greek language. The word apostle is A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S. Apostolos? Let's go for that. Okay, the meaning of this Greek word for apostle means one sent forth on a mission. They are sent forth on a mission from Jesus Christ Himself. So let's put the two together. The chief cornerstone chooses those in the Old Testament that we're going to call all of them as prophets. One who announces, they announced, and they brought a message from Jesus Christ. Now, the apostle was one that Jesus Christ chose these men, and they were sent forth on Jesus Christ's mission. Both did very similar things for the chief cornerstone, aligned and attached to the chief cornerstone. We know that the apostles were sent forth on a mission from Him personally. Keep in mind that the chief cornerstone taught them both, the prophets and the apostles. The apostles' major job was to lay bedrock truth that could only be revealed knowledge that was sent by Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. The information came from Christ, who was delivering the words from His Father. In John 15 and verse 16, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to quote this for you. Jesus Christ was talking to His apostles here. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." These apostles, they didn't choose the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone chose each one individually to be sent on Jesus Christ's specific mission. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Here the chief cornerstone established human beings to help Him. He's the one that chooses who they are and what they are to do. Ephesians 4, let's begin reading here in verse 11. "And He Himself, Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." It is Jesus Christ's job to appoint these individuals. They were His servants. They were his workers to help him with the process that Jesus Christ was doing. What was their purpose? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for helping to mature the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. He's the chief cornerstone, it's the foundation. The apostles and prophets are a layer of the foundation. But he uses others as instruments to help him in the process to build his church, to equip his church, to perfect his church. He's the one doing it. The focus is on Jesus Christ here. Verse 13, until we all come to the unity of the faith. Here Paul included himself that he had to grow and mature as well as an apostle. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ would have these individuals, these servants, his workers, to help him until he returns. Because we're not going to be perfect before then. Verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, tossed about with Satan's doctrines of demons, all of his false ideas, his false ways. This instruction that is handed down to all of us keeps us from being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie and wait to deceive you, and to deceive me. But speaking the truth in love, God is love. His truth is part of who he is. It is truth. It is the way it is. We can believe it with all our heart. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up, may mature, may develop, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. What Christ is doing for all of us is precious. Precious. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Clay was all over this scripture. He's already read it, but I'm going to read it again. From a little bit different angle and purpose. Luke chapter 24. Here Christ told the apostles what their mission was. Let's talk about it here. Luke 24, beginning in verse 44. Then he, Jesus, said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All the information that I provided to be written down in the Old Testament, all those prophecies, every single statement, it all has to be fulfilled. It's going to be true. It's going to come true. Verse 45. And Jesus Christ opened their understanding. He opened the apostles' understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, to understand all of the scriptures in more detail. Why? Not for their own egos, but to help the brethren grow, be perfected, to develop, to mature in this spiritual structure that's being built on the foundation. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So part of their mission, these apostles, were to preach about repentance, about remission of sins, about making a commitment to the great God, and begin building on a solid foundation using wonderful instructions, wonderful truth. Verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. The apostles were witnesses of these things that were taught to them by Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. Clay was talking a little bit about that. Pentecost is just 2 weeks away. The church began on that day. The church believes in 31 AD. The Holy Spirit came on that day to be able to bring more detail, more understanding that we are allowed to see and understand and apply into our life, to build upon this solid foundation. Christ was sending them on a mission for himself. The apostles were to be the witnesses for Jesus Christ to do his service. Christ sent them on a mission. The meaning of the word apostle. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here Peter includes himself and the other apostles as one delivering the truth to the church. At the same time, he talks about the prophets, those in the Old Testament as well. Let's read about it here. 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle." This was 2 Peter. He had written 1 Peter to them earlier. "I write to you the second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." He's reminding them again of something he had taught them earlier. Verse 2, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets," those in the Old Testament, "and of the commandment of us," the apostles in the New Testament. Then it was just sayings. They were teaching at that time. But those words were inspired by the chief cornerstone, and they were later recorded as the New Testament. "And of the commandment of us, the apostles," went on to say, "the apostles of the Lord and Savior." The instruction that came through the apostles to the church was extremely important for the stability of the church, for the stability of each church member, each human being, that's us, for our stability. Elders, pastors, teachers were there to also serve Jesus Christ and help develop the brethren, help mature the brethren. They were there as servants of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin reading here in verse 12. This is Paul talking to a younger minister, Timothy. Let's begin reading in verse 12. It says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus," those who desire to live godly in the chief cornerstone, according to the instructions given by the rock, will suffer persecution. It says we will suffer persecution. We will go through a storm. We will go through a spiritual thunderstorm. And some will go through a spiritual hurricane. Verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Once again, in the chief cornerstone. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It comes from God the Father, handed down to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ delivers it from there. And is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, mature, developed, perfected, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All of these instructions came from the chief cornerstone to the apostles, passed down to others. In our day, elders are there to serve Jesus Christ. The focus is on Jesus Christ. The focus is on the words that Jesus Christ is delivering to all of us. We are to be built upon this foundation, holding fast to the truth that we have been taught. The last scripture, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here we're going to see that we, as individual church members, have a responsibility on how we build on the foundation. It's our choice. It's your choice. Is it going to be rock or sand? My choice. Am I going to build on rock or sand? Combination of the both? Hey, that gets really scary there. We've already read verse 11, but I want to read verse 11 and then continue on. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, who builds on the foundation? That's us. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Wow, many different ways in which to build. Some really put forth some quality effort. Some not so much. But it says here, if anyone builds on this foundation with these items, verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. In this analogy was the fire. Before, Jesus Christ used the analogy of that storm, that rain that beat on the house, whether you're on the rock or the sand. In this analogy, the spiritual storm, that spiritual hurricane is going to be fire. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. The fire will come upon each one of us, of what sort it is. It's going to show how good we built our individual life on the chief cornerstone. It's going to prove it out. Verse 14. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Brethren, they made us the temple of God, the structure that is being built. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What the chief cornerstone, what God the Father and the chief cornerstone are doing with us, brethren, is precious. We must take it extremely serious. We need to be clear how the master builder has constructed the foundation of the church. We see the master architect and the master builder is God the Father. He has set the foundation of the church just as he pleased. He set Jesus the Christ as the chief cornerstone, solid, immovable. He is solid and tried. The rest of the foundation is made up of the prophets and the apostles. But Jesus Christ taught both. We must now see why it is extremely important for us to read and study this book. This book is extremely important for our survival. This is our salvation. This is our foundation. This is coming from God the Father and delivered through Jesus Christ. The Bible is the instructions of Jesus Christ that was delivered by his Father. Our job is to strive to live by every single word. Brethren, let's never forget how the master builder has designed the church, the holy temple. Let's consider our foundation that gives us stability, us collectively and individually. God the Father has carefully placed Jesus Christ into a position to support us, to carry us, to help us. He has given pure truth to us that we can believe with all of our heart. The foundation of the church has been carefully constructed beneath us. The foundation is secure. It's tried. It's stable. It's immovable. God now expects us to hold fast to the truth that the foundation has delivered to us. A task for each one of us individually. God now is expecting us individually to hold firmly to the foundation so that when we face the doctrines of demons, when we face those teachings of Satan, when we face all the spiritual storms, when we face the fire, when it beats upon the church, we stand and not fall. Brethren, we must learn to consider our foundation.